Need a mulligan in your current banking relationship? Tee it high and let it fly with Republic Bank of Chicago's business banking solutions. Driving Chicago business for more than 60 years. Republic Bank of Chicago, banking beyond expectations.
Broadcasting live from the Chicago Board of Trade, this is the home for every Bears game, ESPN Chicago. And this is Captain Jay Hood, WMVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Checkmate 16, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We're brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, the destination for your next Chevy, Acura, Toyota, and now Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Find your advantage at the Advantage Dealer Group as we broadcast live from the Jeff Dickerson Studio at the Chicago Board of Trade. I'd like to let you know, coming up at 8:35, your chance to have a pair of tickets to join us on our trip up I-94 to see the Northsiders in Milwaukee. You're going to be caller 10 on the regular line, 312-332-3776. We'll tell you when to call this hour, so that way you could be with us for our trip up I-94 for the Northsiders against Milwaukee, all brought to you by IKEA. That's going to be a lot of fun. We have this trip every year. We want you to be part of something special, Northsiders against Milwaukee. All right, with shot or no shot, here's Shea W. Norling.
Good morning, boys. How we feeling on a Wednesday?
We're good, man. We're good. I've moved past the disappointment of my club falling out of first, and I am going on record guaranteeing they win tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of clubs, thanks to everyone over the 1914 club for having me.
You've already been there.
Thank you, Jay Moore.
I did some investigative reporting. Oh, of course. You had great seats behind home plate. Happy for Michelle.
And glad me. I'm the one that had to take her, so yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I've invited him a million times. He won't go. But he gets the 1914 club seats, and he's right there. Well, guess what? I'm guaranteeing we win tonight.
Yes. Thank you very much. And by the way, not only has Cap turned heel on his team, but also the Goose has turned heel on the
Sox fan. Okay.
He's got a Sox helmet on. Hey! You see what happens with Sybil here, Shay? Do you understand Sybil?
Unbelievable.
He takes him away and then brings him back in a couple hours.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I did some meditation at the break.
Yeah, who'd you talk to? Because I know you had to pay for it, I'm sure.
I meditated.
Yeah.
And we are locked in, ready to go, and we're going to win tonight. We got it. Eddie Cabrera tonight.
This is a big, big test for the Cap stink.
Oh, my God, yes. Uh-oh.
He guaranteed it.
I'm betting it.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Big test.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Cubbies, it does feel like rewatching a bad movie every night on the north side. They raced out to a huge division lead again. The bats died again. They can't buy a clutch hit again. Six players in their lineup are in the top 24 in Major League Baseball and left on base. That would be Ian Happ, Alex Bregman, Seiya Suzuki, Michael Bush, PCA, and Dansby Swanson. All six in the top 24 in Major League Baseball and left on base. That's two-thirds of your lineup. And once again, they have gagged up first place to the Brewers. So, shot or no shot, this season is going to be deja vu all over again for the Cubs.
Boy, they want them without guarantee.
Deja vu? That's the question. He's not listening.
I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I'm built for 162. I'm saying no shot. I know we've got a little difficulty right now. We've got some injuries in the pitching staff. They'll get it rectified.
And if they don't, because that's a big if. I told you in March, no excuses this year. Bregman and Cabrera is one thing, but to me, you identify the Chicago Cubs on what they do at the deadline. That's only fair. It's been disappointing at the deadline. It had been. Last year, the year before, I thought it was disappointing. You're going to be defined on what you do in July into August. That will tell the story. You can love this Cubs team. You can hate this Cubs team. You can be in the middle. But if you don't add on properly to solidify yourself with a chance for the pennant, then it's all BS. And I don't know how often that you can take and listen to all that BS if they don't do what they're supposed to do. It can't be all on council. It's a team thing when you underachieve. It's a team thing. Everything from the front office to the last guy on the roster. It's a no shot. Like, this won't be deja vu. I think the Cubs will straighten things out. But this swoon here of winning 10 in a row here, 10 in a row there, and then out of first place before Memorial Day?
2-8.
Let me ask this then.
Horrendous.
Because we're talking about Craig, I think we should be starting to talk about Jed a little bit at some point, because this just continues to happen with the same guys in charge. If they don't win the division this year, shot or no shot, the bell's going to toll for Craig and Jed.
No shot. They just extended Jed for 5 years.
See that, you know,
how many times do we have to talk about that not mattering if you're serious?
A week ago, they were in first place by, what, 3.5, something like that. And in a week, now we're talking about the bell toll. Yeah, there's zero chance.
You see what this is? See this Midwestern sports radio we're doing right now with this?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And we talked about this off the air about Jason Kidd, right? Masai Ujiri said, enough. We're going to reimagine the Dallas Mavericks franchise. He could say, well, we got 4 more years left with Jason Kidd. We can't let go of him now because he's under contract. I'm not saying firing Council or Hoyer, and you're not saying that either.
No.
You're saying bell tolling, meaning like the pressure has to be on.
Oh, that's different. I thought he meant firing.
Well, no, I am. Like, if they don't win the division again, I'm asking, will the decision be made? And this isn't me saying today, fire somebody. I don't believe that. I don't feel that way. They have 110 games left to figure this out, get everything right. But if you get to the end of 110 games and once again you aren't hoisting an NL Central Champs flag in center field, are we going to be at a decision point?
No.
Now with Tom, no. But the point is, though, is that the heat should be on. It's on now, but it should be hotter if you let the Brewers get past you again. If they're winning more games than you are. If they're beating you in the series again. Because now you have to take a look at your franchise and go, we have good players. How come we can't get them to be dominant? How come we can't get separation in the National League Central? You have to ask that question.
I guess what's interesting to me, Cap, is it World Series or bust or not? Because if it is, it's unacceptable to come up short in this division again. Then if we get to the end of that and they don't win the division, again, I'm not saying today, I'm future casting. If you live in a world where they don't win the NL Central in a season where everybody accepted World Series or bust, and Jed said this is a team that's good enough to do it, if they don't even win the division, how is that not a decision point?
Well, you do have to look at the injuries to the pitching staff. 3 of your 5 starters are not there.
Okay, fair.
So you've had ridiculous pitching injuries.
Does that explain the bats disappearing?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The other thing we really haven't talked about is you've got to do a deep dive on why so many of your pitchers are getting hurt. I'm not talking about Matthew Boyd. That was a freak knee thing. I'm talking about arm injuries. Porter Hodge just had Tommy John. Justin Steele had it a year ago, and he's still banged up. Cade Horton just had Tommy John. How many other guys? Signing Hunter Harvey looks to be one of the worst decisions the Cubs have made in a long time. There's no bad one-year deals. Well, when you spend, what did he get, $7 million? He pitched in, what, 7 games last year? I don't care if he's got an electric arm that throws 98 miles an hour with filthy breaking stuff. He's now been transferred to the 60-day IL. Like, we should be shocked that Hunter Harvey is hurt? He pitched 7 games last year, injured.
And also, I don't know if there's been any firm reporting on it, but it sounded like Jackson Wiggins missed a scheduled live BP last week, too.
Yeah, I did not hear if he threw his BP or not.
Cliff Floyd said hello, the 1914 Club. Good to see him. Shay?
I know Cap's been hot on this today. I do want to ask about this Bears Stadium thing.
Can I work in another studio for the day?
Probably not.
You still got to hear me.
We have a couple mayors are fighting. The mayors of Arlington Heights and Hammond, Indiana are debating whether or not it is actually a toxic sludge wasteland that the Bears are potentially building on in Hammond.
Wasn't the word slag? I never heard that word before.
It's like slag and hazardous waste, and there's something about human waste. Like it's crazy. But it was brought up by the Arlington Heights mayor, who said this,
Jimmy Tenaglia,
this would be red flag city for me. And the mayor of Hammond said, well, we should trust the Bears know more about it than we do because they're spending millions of dollars on it. All of this happening is yesterday. There was an NFL meeting where they talked about the Bears have two plans, two viable sites, Hammond and Arlington Heights. And the Arlington Heights one is coming under pressure because the spring legislature will close May 31st. If there isn't a deal done by then, likely won't be until 2027, which pressures them to get building in Hammond. But I'm just going to ask simply, shot or no shot, there will be a shovel in the ground in 2026.
I'm going to say shot, and I think it's going to be in Arlington Heights. I cannot believe both sides are that stupid that they would allow the legislature to go on summer break, May 31, and go, yep, see you next fall, and not have this worked out. Then both sides, the Bears and the politicians in this great state of Illinois, are out of their freaking minds. And it would serve Governor Pritzker and everyone else right. If the Bears end up in Indiana, horrific business decision from my seat. Playing in Hammond, Indiana, I think it's a joke.
Yeah, it's a shot. It's not even a talking point anymore, Cap. We know it's going to be in Arlington Heights. That's it. You should ask the Southeast Sider what slag is. So there's an area in the on the Southeast Side, Cap, called Slag Valley. It's around South Deering, 104th and Deering. And so slag refers to the steel mills over and the waste that's over. If you're looking for where the waste goes, there's a lot of waste in the Southeast Side where you've got slag, meaning industrial waste. That's what that means.
Okay.
It is pet coke. It is salt piles. You don't know where some of the salt comes from in the city? It's over there by me because they got areas where they have the slag. So there's an actual area. Hey, where are you going today? I got to go over the Slag Valley, pick up my girl. Meaning that's over in South Deering, like 100th Street. So I've heard that all my life. It's not like I spent a lot of time over there, but I know where that is. If you're looking for the waste, nothing like, by the way, when you wake up in the morning on the Southeast Side, like, what's that smell? It's where the waste is in Slag Valley. It's just wafting through the South Side. It is. It's disgusting sometimes.
Brutal.
And they do it overnight, by the way. But and you know, Shay, you try to open the windows like a little bit, right? Get some air in at night. And that's where the industrial waste comes from, that wafting through your window. Slag Valley.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
So,
Shay?
How long does it take to clean that property? Because
you got to ask somebody who's an expert on it.
Because I know that when DePaul, before they built the Wintrust Arena, they wanted to build where the old Finkel steel plant was, right on the edge of campus at Armitage and Racine.
Yep.
It was a perfect spot. And they went and did the environmental testing and said, we can't put a stadium here.
Look how long
bring all these thousands of people all the time in here.
Look how long it takes to build a 7-Eleven on a closed gas station.
Right. Yerk and I opened the door for everyone on that video that we did. Remember we went to Hammond? We told you about the smokestacks and just and the air quality there. It's like, there's no way that they're going to build here. I lived in that area. I fished in that area. I know. I was like, it's got to be Arlington Heights. It's got to be. That was no surprise when that story came out that Shay talked about. In that area?
Correct.
Hammond? No shot. Shay, I know you got one more, and then we got around the NFL.
Yeah, it took a while, Hoodie, but two games into the conference finals in the NBA, the NBA playoffs are finally delivering. Last night, the Knicks came back from down 22 points in under 8 minutes, and I have stats that are going to blow your mind. I'm going to target one player in particular on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It will surprise nobody. It is James Harden. In the fourth quarter and overtime, the Knicks got Harden to switch into 9 isolation possessions on defense. They got 1.9 points per possession in those possessions. Harden was the screener in 21 on-ball picks in the fourth quarter and overtime combined. Knicks got 1.5 points per possession. After the game, Knicks said, it was no secret we were attacking Harden while Kenny Atkinson held his timeouts. Brunson had an 11-0 solo run in the fourth quarter. Take one guess. Who was the primary defender on every single one of those points scored?
James Harden. And we just watched the Landry Shamet game-tying three. It's right there. Watch James Harden when he comes out to contest a three. He rotates over, hands at his waist. That is what a loser does as a defender. You get your hands up and you bust your ass out to the three-point stripe.
Yes.
He kind of saunters out there with his hands at his waist.
Yep.
And Kenny Atkinson did nothing. Up 22. Okay, now they got it down to 16, 15, whatever it is. Hey, James, take a seat. We got this.
Didn't take responsibility after the game either, did the head coach. If the Cavs fall in this series, he will be fired at the end of the season.
Yeah, yes. It was also Harden's, fun fact, 47th career playoff game with more turnovers than made baskets. And Donovan Mitchell did not touch the basketball in overtime. Shot or no shot, James Harden is becoming the greatest choke artist in sports.
I don't know if I could call him a choke artist. I just don't think he's a winning player.
That's a shot. And Lamar says hello.
In the playoffs.
You're speaking to my soul, man.
That's what it is, man. Can't deny the numbers. Can't deny the numbers. I mean, look, James Harden's a prolific scorer. He's going to the Hall of Fame, Cap.
Yep.
But not because of his defense.
And Kenny Atkinson, I heard the audio with Evan, Michelle, and Canty this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Atkinson literally said he's been our best perimeter defender.
Well, then that's first of all, that's a lie. And secondly, if that is the case, then you got problems.
If that's the case, then you are a terrible defensive coach.
That's him supporting his player, but and also not knowing what to say, because it's the biggest recovery for a Knicks team that I've ever seen. We watched the Knicks for a long time. They've never had a comeback like that. That was just amazing basketball yesterday.
It was crazy.
Don't forget, we have an opportunity for you to join us on the I-94 trip as the Northsiders go up to Milwaukee. We'll take caller 10 coming up this hour. We'll let you know when to call. We want you to join us as Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Morning 6 to 9. ESPN Chicago.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and Jay Hood experience on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Go around the NFL right here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Reminding you that we're giving away a pair of tickets to join us for our trip to up 94 to see the Northsiders in Milwaukee. That'll be caller 10. We'll let you know when to call to be part of our special trip brought to you by IKEA. With more, here's Shea W. Norland. Shea?
Around the NFL, brought to you by the Angelo System. Achieve sustainable weight loss and diabetes reversal with no drugs, no food restrictions. Visit theangelosystem.com. So yesterday, the NFL made an approval for the schedule going forward that there will be a maximum 10 international games per season. Roger Goodell said the goal, 16 international games. Every team will play in an international game every single year. I worry a little bit that we are approaching the point where the NFL is becoming the snake that's eating its own tail. Because we are hitting a bit of a ridiculous point where the greatest advantage this league ever had was the fact that they played their games on Sunday. Everybody was home, nobody had other stuff going on, and everybody could watch. And now we're playing games on a Wednesday night so that we can play in Australia, and you've got teams playing on 6 days of the week, every day except for Tuesday. At some point, are you going to kill what was the golden goose of Sundays by moving games all over the calendar and all over the world? How is this good for fans? How does this benefit the fans that you have? And what ultimately is so great out there that you're chasing to grow this?
Okay, I agree with you 100% on this.
He's right.
He's all right. But the question is, when Goodell is done, and I think he could see his end as commissioner at some point down the line, he's paid handsomely, but at some point it will come to an end. So where can you find the demise of the NFL in all this? Like, your favorite team, if your favorite team plays on Tuesday, if it plays on Thursday, if it plays on Sunday,
you're
going to watch. So, but what he's saying is right. But how does the train get off the track with the NFL?
It doesn't.
That's the thing.
So the people that lose... the fan. Like, I wake up, you know my routine. I wake up on Sunday mornings. Brett and I cook up breakfast. We're down there watching the pregame, listening to Sylvie at the table for a noon Bears Vikings game. And then we're on the couch all afternoon. That's not going to be the case. We'll still watch. But, hey, Brett, you want to watch the Cardinals and the Ravens play? No, not really. You want to watch the Browns take on the Bengals? No, not really. Where's the Bears? Oh, they're on Tuesday. Okay. I mean,
guess what?
What are we doing?
You're going to be front and center to watch it, though. That's the thing. As long as there's gambling, this is not a TV ratings thing at all. It's not a TV ratings thing because that's a thing of the past. Because it's on streaming services. No one's going to say, well, we're going to discontinue the NFL and cancel it because the ratings are low. It's not a TV show. It's a game.
Correct.
So you are 100% right, but I'm trying to figure out what does the end look like.
Well, I don't think it'll happen overnight where
He's
suddenly
right.
The NFL will die.
But 25 years from now, you might look back and go, boy, that was a terrible decision. We owned
right.
Sundays, and it's great. You have the Monday night game. Okay, I'm cool with that. You do one other thing. Okay, now 16 international games.
But nothing replaces it.
No,
that's the thing. But see, as much as baseball has a renaissance, right, and people love soccer, right, internationally and in this country as well, right, nothing replaces it now. It's like, so they're the golden goose that continues to lay golden eggs.
But Hoodie, it's the fans they have already that are the people who are sticking around and watching. I'm not worried about guys like us. We are going to keep watching the NFL.
What about my 5-year-old grandson?
That's what I'm talking about.
When Ben is 20, he's like, it wasn't that big a tradition on Sundays anymore.
Right. Your Sunday afternoon is now ruined. You get two games in the 3:15 window. And time that we would have spent sitting around watching football games, kids are going to go out and do other things.
You are correct.
Or people who don't have Peacock or Paramount or whatever streaming service exclusive picks up another game, where we could just turn on Fox as a kid and watch whatever the 3:15 game was. Like, that's going to go away. And I worry that in chasing every last dollar right now, you hurt yourself in the future where you won't have as devoted of a fan base.
Well, one thing for sure, if that's going to happen, it's going to be the generation after yours that will decide to do something else besides being wedded to the National Football League and watching it every whatever day it's on. Because that's what's going to come. Because as
100%.
Far as his generation, my generation, your generation, we're locked in because of fantasy football.
Yeah.
Or because we love our teams, because it's a generational thing. But Ben's generation, right, your grandson, could break the chain. As much as you, as a baby boomer, is like, wait, you guys sit and watch the Bears. No, I don't, Dad. No, I don't, Granddad. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch it because I don't know when it's on. I'm busy Monday night. I'm busy Tuesday night. I'm busy whenever they're going to be, whenever those games are.
Correct.
And on top of that, his generation, like your generation, likes to watch games through TikTok, the highlights.
But
on Instagram as well. It's a big difference in viewing habits.
Even beyond the viewing habit, or like where, think about how much the product is going to be watered down. Already these off day games on Wednesdays, Thursdays, whenever, it's not the same quality of play. You get the one off, like the primetime Chiefs Rams game a few years ago where there was 1 billion points scored. But for the most part, you're looking at garbage getting fed to you on a Thursday night because the players aren't ready to play. Then you're asking them to play on Fridays. You're asking teams like the Niners to travel 40,000 miles. Look at already what the last 2 weeks of December and the first week of January look like. It's horrible football. You got quarterbacks dead across the board. teams are injured beyond belief, go ahead, add an 18th game. I'm sure that'll look better.
No.
We have a week 19.
Brother, you're 100% right on it. My retort is, can I bet on it?
I understand that, but look, that's going away too. There's data showing that as gambling has been legalized, it was a wave to get into it. People haven't stuck around. Fewer people are betting now than they were when it got legalized. Like, all this money they're chasing, it doesn't exist forever.
They're not betting baseball on a day-to-day.
No, maybe, but you get my point. Like, this isn't, they chase every last dollar, and it's not sustainable to keep doing that. Even think about the cost of attending a game. It was hard enough for me to go when I was a kid and my family wasn't rich. Hard enough for me to attend an NFL game. Now, dude, if you're not upper class, best of luck. You're not welcome in the building. And they're going to take games away from you so every team can play in Germany?
The next commissioner will have a daunting task after Goodell on how to reimagine, how to redefine football as far as viewing habits, going to games, all that kind of thing. It's going to be interesting. We're already in the streaming world. Then what's next, Shay? We go backwards? It just be only networks? Say that's going to be interesting to find out, because as is, Goodell is pushing the pedal down as far as he can to be able to try to make this a global game. And guess what? They'll fail miserably. Just because you're international doesn't make you soccer.
He's right.
Just not. It doesn't make you basketball. I mean, you can be in these places, but these are just great for the rich. Or for the fam or the family cap that is saved to go to Luxembourg or wherever the hell they're going to play. That ain't for the regular fan, I'll tell you that for sure.
Fair.
You know?
Fair.
So direction should they go if they want to continue to grow the game? Like, what ideas that you may have that will be suitable for the fan?
Well, my idea, Cap, is to do right by the players and not have them be in a series of car accidents on weird days on short rest. They're not baseball players. They're football players.
I agree there. Now, again, they have to sign off on it, the players, and agree to do this.
Yep.
And if they do, okay. But I would not. They're spread out too much. There's too much. You want to play a Christmas game? Okay, that's cool. You do your traditional Thanksgiving? That's cool. Do I need Black Friday and the Wednesday before? And do I need all these different places? I don't.
It was the most lucrative sport in the country by far when there were 16 games and they played on Thursday, Sunday, Monday. And they keep trying to fix what isn't broken and chase more dollars. And I just worry at some point you're only hurting yourself. The product is not getting better from all of this.
Goodell's fine with it. Because when he's done, that's why I'm interested in seeing what the next commissioner will do. Will you just ride the crest of what they're doing now, or they make changes that's right for the player? That's the one thing about all of this, Shay, that you're talking about. The number one thing for me is the player and the player's safety. They're trying to run these guys like they're baseball players, and they're just not. Your body's not used to being in a series of car accidents. You might be built for football, but not like that.
It's why you get all excited for Christmas football, and then you get fed Chris Olatakun against Easton Stick in what should have been tremendous, like Chiefs Chargers.
Exactly.
But everybody's dead because they just play too many games and they play too close together. Like, it was ridiculous a couple years ago when the Chiefs played 3 games in 13 days.
The Bears did that with Nagy, remember?
Yes. It's too much.
Would you guys be opposed to them adding another game, regular season game, and getting rid of a preseason game?
I don't have a problem with it if the players are cool with doing it. The preseason, for me, I don't even need the games.
Because you know it's coming.
You could do away with the game.
Well, cool. Two byes then.
Yes.
I like that.
You'd need have to it. Have a double bye.
I like that.
You get a bye like week 6 and a bye like week 12.
And then the Super Bowl will be in March.
Right. I mean, remember when the Bears won the Super Bowl, it was January 26, 1986. Now the Super Bowl is on Valentine's Day.
I know, and it's going to be President's Day weekend before long because they'll get their 18th game. It just, they keep asking you for more of your time in more of your places and more of your money. And I feel like if you look around the world, I can speak for myself, I'm not exactly flush with time or money. So how much more can you take from me as a league? And I'm just one fan. I can't be the only person feeling this.
Are you not? I mean, because it's a hassle. Like, sometimes I sit there and I want to watch a game, and then it's on a streaming service. I'm like, geez.
That you can't exit out of.
Yeah.
You can't flip the chat. You can't flip the dial.
I'm like, right. You have to wait and log in, and it's like, man.
Brother, let me just tell you, and here's the difference between me and maybe you, Cap. I don't have to watch every NFL game. I don't.
Oh,
just because the NFL's on doesn't mean I automatically watch. If it's the Bears or an interesting game, I'll turn it on. But just kind of like how I do baseball, I can't watch every game.
Tell me.
I talked about this with Pat the Designer yesterday. Imagine somebody saying that to you 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when games weren't when it was 10 years ago, when it was Sunday, Monday. Imagine someone going, I don't have to watch every NFL game. It would have never happened.
True.
People sat around and watched. Now, people are going to be like that, Hoodie. What okay. You just said, that fans are going to start making that decision.
Okay.
So I don't have to watch all this.
Wednesday night, typically in my family, the night before Thanksgiving, We bring in a bunch of Malnati's, and my kids are all there, and we play card games, and we watch a movie. I cannot, if the Bears are playing, obviously, I'll be working, and I'll watch, and I'd want to. But if you told me it is the Washington Commanders are taking on the Arizona Cardinals Wednesday night Black Wednesday game.
Oh, man.
I'm not probably going to watch.
No.
I'm going to tell my wife, hey, hon, I'm not going to hang with the family because I got to go watch Washington and Arizona.
No.
The
Around the NFL segment every day brought to you by
The Angelo System. Visit theangelosystem.com today.
Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. We're giving away a pair of tickets to join us on our trip up I-94 to see the Northsiders in Milwaukee.
Let's go.
Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number, brought to you by IKEA on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Come on.
You're listening to Cap and J-Hood on ESPN Chicago.
On the show.
Need a mulligan in your current banking relationship? Tee it high and let it fly with Republic Bank of Chicago's business banking solutions. Driving Chicago business for more than 60 years. Republic Bank of Chicago. Banking beyond expectations.
Cap and Jay Hood are back. Yeah. Presented by Advantage Dealer Group. ESPN Chicago.
Our podcast is brought to you by Republic Bank. As we're with you till 9 o'clock, then it is Carmen and Yurko at 9, followed by Rich Eisen at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. They'll be on YouTube, by the way. YouTube.com. Look for ESPN Chicago there. And also, the White Sox and Mariners right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000, with Jeff Meller, Len Casper, Darren Jackson at 2:30 right here on ESPN 1000. Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million for the great attorney Howard Ankin.
Sound my ball, Cap. Are you a fan of the Cubs in their 640 start?
Yeah.
For years, 120, 305 on Fridays, and then you get lights. Now you have the 705 start. It is,
and they got rid of the 305 because the players complained of the shadows.
The shadow, yeah,
right.
Which was always awesome on Fridays. You could always depend on the shadows.
Yeah, if you knew if you had the lead, we're good. We had a flamethrower, you know, whoever it was.
Yeah,
and if the shadow was only between the mound and home plate, and the ball would explode in there. But if you were behind, you were screwed.
I'm just here to tell you, that's a commitment at 640.
You got to hustle to get there.
Brother, like, I'm on Lakeshore Drive, and we're, you know, Peacock and I are there, and just, like, you know, the traffic is slow. You're just trying to get on the north side from Lakeshore Drive from where we live. And just, like, that 640 is tight. You get off at 5, and you got to get in your seats by 640. That's tough, because it's not just—
And you're going to the 1914. You want to eat.
So just aside from that, if I'm just a regular fan, because I was not a regular fan yesterday, I was— high on the hog, if you pardon the expression.
Yeah.
So there you
living
go.
Living the good life.
Living the good life. But, Shay, that is, it's not just, it's just not driving traffic, foot traffic. Trying to get people out of the way so you can get through the gates and get to your seat. 640 is tough. 7 o'clock, you feel like you get off at 5, get the kids or get your, whoever you're going with and get there for the 7 o'clock game. 640? There was empty seats all around me and around that ballpark at 640. people weren't settled in until about 7:15, 7:20. Because they're, you know, going through the tickets and check your bag and all that. It's just different. That's all I'm saying.
It is.
The 6:40 is tough.
I like it because I got to get up early like you.
Yeah.
Like this morning. Like I stayed up. Cubs game ends. Do my post game. And then I'm watching the Sox. And I got the Knicks on.
Yeah.
And the Sox are doing nothing. Both teams had one hit. It's
horrible.
It's
horrible baseball.
The Knicks are getting blown out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to bed. And then here come the Knicks.
Yeah.
And so I'm locked in. Now I'm locked in. I'm watching to see what's happening with the White Sox. And when they didn't score in the eighth, I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm out. And then my phone starts lighting up.
Yes. So I just – and Shea, for – I think it's Cleveland. I don't think it's Detroit. But it's Cleveland, right? The 6 o'clock start?
Detroit has it now, too. Yeah.
See, it's like the 5:05 Central time.
It's 5:40
usually. It's usually the first game that I see is like either Tigers or Cleveland.
Or Atlanta sometimes.
Yeah, they're a big fan of the 6:40 Eastern start now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I went to bet a game the other day. I was doing like a hit parlay of a hit here and a hit there around baseball. And I looked and I went, oh, I want to play Ozzie out. I'm like, whoa, the Braves are in the second inning already. What's going on here? Yeah.
You just, I just know that it's almost like you got to take almost a half day because you just want to make sure that you're in the ballpark. You want to take all your pictures, you want to eat, and you just want to make sure you're in the, because, you know, it's the Cubs. The way you have to pay for a Cubs game cap, you deserve all nine innings. None of this, come in the second or the, I want to be in my seat first pitch.
Right. That was the spread at the 1914 Club.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Restaurant quality.
They have a lot of options.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Tom Ricketts. And actually, I admired it because it was my first time there. Just, it's just the Cubs being smart with extra revenue streams. I mean, that was nothing years ago. And now.
They dug that out.
It is amazing. And you could stay after the game for an hour.
Right.
Hour and a half.
They have the open bar and the desserts. And it's insane.
I'm going to my wallet. And the lady says, no, sir. Sir. This is on the house, on the arm, she said. Oh, thank you. Not even the tip. I was going to reach out.
And they have all the like stuff you can take to your seat?
Yeah.
Or they'll come around to your seat and go, yeah, would you like something?
Come, Jay, it's me. It's more than the tip, obviously. All right. Okay. Culturally speaking, it's got to be more than that. I mean, it's me. Nonetheless.
PCA. That's pretty awesome, man.
What?
Call overturned.
What do you mean?
Booth review.
What did I say wrong?
Yeah.
That's not even call stance.
No, that was confirmed.
What did I say wrong?
Rang him up.
Oh, by the way, in the Sox game against Seattle yesterday, a Carroll, by the way, Shea, taps the helmet. Bad call. It becomes a ball. And they did not show it. Did you? Were you watching this? I'm sure you're blurry-eyed by this time. It's the eighth inning. They didn't even show whether it was a ball or strike. They just said, call overturn. And Carroll said, well, let's see it. They never showed it on the screen.
Wow.
Everybody was waiting.
Well, what about
we
never talked about the other day. It was Cubs-Brewers, right? They called the ABS challenge and the ball on the screen clipped the strike zone. And then the ump comes back around and goes, call confirmed.
Correct.
Ball.
That's
I'm
not
like,
right.
What?
That's
and then
not
later,
right.
And then later, like at two innings later, Boog, who I love Boog.
Mm-hmm.
Boog Ciambi comes on and goes, the Brewers have two challenges. That's a correction from earlier in the game.
Scoreboard
when the
was
umpire
wrong, right?
came out and said, that call is overturned. Brewers lose a challenge. What? Hold on a minute. You just said it was a strike.
See? I will give Carroll, and of course, Shea, we've got the numbers down. Carroll's brutal at this ball strike thing, the ABS challenge. But I will add, he has a point. Can you show on the scoreboard whether that was a ball or strike? Now it's just arbitrary. Call is overturned. It is? Well, let's see where the ball was. Nope. Next pitch. You can't do that. That's just aggravating. That's just one of the few highlights of the game, Cap, because, well, it was Sox Mariners. There's not much going on. So.
Yep.
All right. We give you a classic Cap and J-Hood cut of the day because we're backlogged. Do we have a bad show? Is that why we said?
Show is fantastic.
Okay. But we're backlogged.
Thank you, Jay.
We're back.
All right.
Backed up.
All right. Well, here we go. We will get that out coming up next with the classic cut of the day on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and J-Hood, ESPN Chicago. Now back to Cap and Jay Hood, presented by Advantage Dealer Group on ESPN Chicago.
Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day. Classic.
Brought to you by Chicago Gut Steakhouse, Jay Moore.
Classic.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right.
The Bears were consistently the most penalized and awarded the fewest first downs by penalty over the last four seasons.
Way to go, Eberflus.
We should play the Eberflus Open because Jay Moore did a great job. He did one also for Brother Brown, too. He never came on, but...
Remember they canceled him? Like
Cap and Jay Hood? Oh, no.
Before. Oh, no. We can't put him on there.
Jay doesn't want to talk about
it. Canceled him.
He was supposed to come on, right?
Yeah. It was a
you Jay might Moore. Have been off that day. He was supposed to come on the night before Danny reaches out and says, they just canceled Thomas Brown for you guys.
Jay Moore did a great Thomas Brown Open. He had Thomas Brown in the Hall of Fame. Right. That Open, oh, my God.
You're going out with who?
No. It never aired, unfortunately. But it was a hell of an Open.
Yeah, you would have thought Thomas Brown was Tom Brady.
He had Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown.
Yeah! Coach of the Chicago Bears.
Two things you control when you walk in the building. It's your effort and your attitude.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest up all season.
More details, more demanding. Understand that practice preparation always leads to game day execution, so that's our focus.
Thomas Brown.
This Chicago!
Cap and Jay Hood.
What can Brown do for you?
On ESPN.
Yeah! Oh, my goodness! The head coach for the Chicago Bears is Thomas Brown. He joins us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Good morning. How are you?
The oldest brewery in America.
Coach Brown, what is the problem with you and Caleb? Seems like there's a sideline issue. Go ahead. Give me a few minutes on that. I think we need to send that to him. Just like, hey, man, for your resume.
Yep. Yeah. Tell them you had a show.
You had a show. Yeah. Hey, brother. Just so you know, I used to have a show in Chicago. Here's the Open for it. That's why I don't hear any comments.
And that's all, folks.
Wow.
Thomas Brown had an Open. Oh, my God. The hidden archive of the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. I love the Thomas Brown Open. What can Brown do for
never
you?
Never aired till last week.
Oh, Jay Moore is a gem, man. He had that brother in the Hall of Fame, man. Thomas Brown. We thank you so much for listening and calling in.
Coach, you got to do this interview with who tomorrow? Cap and Jay Hood. No. That's not happening.
Being part of the program. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. How about we do this tomorrow for Tom Thayer Thursday?
Let's do it. Get ready, Double T.
Carmen Yurko next. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.
Well, see you later.
I've got the best job, Carm.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 6 to 9. ESPN Chicago.